Can be seated and take your Bible tonight if will, and let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. I want to read some of the scriptures read last Sunday morning and preach from these verses again. Man, it's a good night. Nobody's going to get picked on. We're not going to chew you out. Just want to encourage you, all right? And I'll chew you out on another night or another day, but tonight, just encourage you, just try to help you, just try to boost you up a little bit, point you in the right direction, and maybe get you going, all right? So Acts chapter 3, if you will, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" I want you to notice, if you will, those words there in verse 6. "But such as I have, give I thee." Such as I have, give I thee. Last week I said I preached to you from these scriptures on the view from the bottom. The view from the bottom. But tonight I want you to see a different view, okay? I started to say it's the view from the top, but maybe not, all right? I want you to notice this. Peter and John were Christians, okay? You said, "Preacher, we know that. They're apostles." Good. They are. They're apostles. But because they're Christians, they had a different perspective on life. You and I who are saved ought to have a completely different perspective on life than those folks that are out there lost without Jesus Christ, okay? How life goes for you can often depend on how you view yourself and your surroundings. The truth be told, it's that way. We can't always determine what happens to us, but we can decide how we react to what happens. Okay, we don't determine what happens to us. All right, stuff happens in life, and circumstances cross our paths, and we can't always determine that. You can be the most careful driver in the world and still be in a car wreck. I mean, just nothing you can do to keep from it, all right? But it's how you react to what happens that makes a difference. There's a poster we have up at school that says something along the line of said, "We can't determine the direction the wind blows, but we can adjust our sails." All right? We can adjust our sails to determine where that wind's going to take us. And we need to consider that. I want you to notice what Peter said. Here he is. They're coming into the temple. There's a lame man who's laid there, carried there, been lame from his birth. He's laying there at the gate, and he's asking alms. He's begging. So Peter looked at him, and he even said to him, "Look on us." And then he said this. He said, "Don't have any money. Don't have any money. But," he said, "what I do have, I'm willing to give. What I do have, I'm willing to give." Now, I believe this with all my heart. You and I as Christians have some things to give to this old world that it needs. It needs. And it's not going to get it anywhere else. And what you and I need to do is we must be willing to do as Peter said, "Such as I have." Such as I have, give I thee. Such as I have, give I thee. I'll give you what I've got. Okay? I'll give you what I have. Three things tonight. Number one, hope. Hope. Man, the world is... You look around, do you ever look at the world and think, man, it's hopeless? You ever look and think, well, it's hopeless? I look at what's going on in the world, and I look at who's running for president, and I think it's hopeless. You know, it's hopeless. It doesn't matter who we elect, it's still hopeless, you know. Man, now the world has its brand of hope. The world has its brand of hope. People hope it'll rain. We here in Texas hope it'll cool off. There's a host of people hope to win the lottery. We hope the Cowboys will win the Super Bowl. Now we've got hopes that the Rangers, at least in the playoffs. All right, so we've got hope that, all right. Maybe hope to get a better paying job. But the truth of the matter is there's no real long-term eternal hope out there in the world. The best the world can hope for is to maybe live a decent life and die an easy death. Just get out of the world easy, all right? Now, I believe this with all my heart. I believe the world longs for the hope that you and I have. The hope you and I have. You said, "What, preacher, what is that hope?" Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, would you? I want you to notice what the Bible said. Way over there near the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 3. Just stay with me tonight, okay? Just stay with me a little bit. Listen on purpose. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Boy, you could park right there and think about it a while. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now notice what verse 3 says. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, what a hope to have within us. That, hey, one of these days, all right, right now we are the sons of God. Do you understand that? If you're a born-again child of God, right now you're son of God. Right now. Then the Bible said, but it doesn't appear what we shall be.
Amen.
He said the promise is a whole lot better than what we're enjoying right now. It is a good thing to be the son of God. Wonderful thing to be that. But doth not yet appear what shall be, but we know. Oh, I like it when the Bible says we know. When he shall appear, we'll be like him. We'll be like him. Then the Bible said the guy that has this hope, hey, the world can just long for that kind of hope. You and I. Now, I want to say this again. I say it all the time. When the world uses the word hope, it's think so, maybe so, perhaps, and there's a long shot chance of it. But when the Bible talks about the hope of the child of God, it's not maybe so, think so, a long shot chance. It is a calm assurance that it is going to be just that way. That is the way it is, okay? Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in him. It's not in somebody else. Hey, it's not in the stock market. My hope's not in the stock market. My hope is not in any politician. I can get real cynical when it comes to politics, all right? I'm going to vote. I plan to vote. You ought to vote too, all right? But now, not two times, just once, okay? But you ought to vote also, all right? But hey, I tell you what, my hope's not in the politicians. Man, it's not there. It's not in the economy. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hey, my hope's in the Lord, all right? I've got that calm assurance. We've got that hope that God's going to take care of his child. Now, I don't know how it was when you grew up. I have no idea what your home was like. But man, when I was a kid, I had that kind of hope that I never worried about anything at home. And I always figured, man, there's going to be food on the table. Going to be food on the table. I never thought about it much as a kid, but looking back on it now, I realized, man, there were some times it was probably pretty skimpy, but there was always food on the table. I never worried about going to be thrown out on the street. Man, those things didn't cross my mind. Boy, I had great hope that my parents, they were going to take care of me. And I counted on it. I counted on them to provide for my needs. They were the ones. Can I say this to you? I'm all grown up now. And I'm a long way from a kid. But I've got that same hope in the Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of me. He's going to provide my needs. Listen, the world longs for that kind of hope. The world just dreams about that. Hey, we've got something that they need. They need that hope. They need that hope. Take your Bible to Titus chapter 2, would you? Titus chapter 2. And we're going to look at one verse in Titus chapter 2. If I can find it. There it is. All right. Titus chapter 2. Won't you look at verse 13, would you? You talk about a hope. Here it is. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, that's the hope we're looking for. That's the hope we're looking for. My dad used to say, he said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. Johnny Flanagan had a song. He said, ain't going to ride no hearse. The Lord's coming first. He said, before I die, I'm going to fly. I ain't going to ride no hearse. Hey, that's the hope of the child of God, is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look around and I see what's going on, I see the rumblings over in China as they begin to flex their muscles, as I see what goes on in Russia against Ukraine and in other parts of the world. You don't hear about it, but there's wars going on. You said, what's the hope? The hope is the Lord coming back. That's the hope. That's the hope. And we've got that hope that He is. We're looking for that blessed hope, all right? That's the thing that all... Hey, when you're at the bottom in your life, you can always look for that blessed hope. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. And He's coming to claim His own. Now, I like it when it says that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, we've got hope. We've got hope. The world doesn't know anything about that kind of stuff. Man, they can't do it. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I pillow my head at night, I'm not worrying. I'm not worrying. I lay down, put my head on the pillow. Now, I don't instantly fall asleep. I used to, I would. My wife does. Boom, she's gone, all right? And I'm listening to her breathe, you know, she's asleep, and I'll be laying there. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I may be thinking about, well, what's going to happen tomorrow. Oftentimes I think about what I'm going to preach and just looking for thoughts along that line. But I'm not worried. Why? I got that hope that no matter what happens, God's in control. Hey, you know what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. You've got hope. You ought to give this world some of that hope. They need to see it. But not only hope, but the second thing we've got is help. 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 What Peter and John wanted to do for that lame man was help him. They wanted to help him. You know, they said, you know, in the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, you know, rise up and walk. Reached out, took him by the hand. Why? They wanted to help him. They had some concern for him. The world needs the help that the child of God can give, just as that beggar in Acts chapter 3 needed the help that Peter and John could give him. The world needs that help. You said, how in the world can I help people in the world? Number one, encouragement. Encouragement. This is a discouraging place. This is a discouraging time in history. Discouraging time. Man, people need encouragement. Now, people come in, they got a long face. Why? Well, there's so much discouraging. I could sit here tonight, and if God helped my memory, we could tick them off for long. We'd all be crying and go home depressed. Because all the bad news, okay? You just think about it. Everything's out there. I hear them talking about gas prices. Now, I don't know about you, but that worries me a little bit, all right? Well, it doesn't worry me, but I'm concerned about it. You know, where's it going? And my cousin, he posts things out on Facebook, and he posted this deal picture of a sign at a service station in California, and all the prices for gas were over $6 a gallon. There's another wonderful reason to avoid the state, all right? You know, there they are, and you think about it, they tell us here, I've heard on the radio, it's definitely going to be a $4 a gallon. Well, good, could you tell me some more encouraging news? I remember being in the hospital back in 2006, going in because of some chest pain, and they went in and put in two stents in an artery in my heart. And I was laying there in the bed, you know, in the afternoon waiting on them to decide you can go home, and making them happy with that. And here comes this lady in. She comes chirping into the room. And I mean, almost with no introduction, it was, I think she did say, I'm so-and-so. But it was almost then immediately, and you're a type 2 diabetic. Glory to God! I'm in the hospital, stents, you've got arterial heart disease, and good news, you're a diabetic. Man, I wanted to look around and say, anybody else want something to encourage me with right here today? There's a lot of discouraging things in the world, but she tried to encourage me. She said, now, you're just going to need to change your diet, but she said, is there candy you like? I said, well, I really like peanut M&Ms. And she said, you don't have to quit eating them. She said, it's okay if you have 3 or 4 a day. I looked at her. I promise. I said this. Pax? She said, no, 3 or 4 peanut M&Ms. I said, lady, if you're only going to get that many, it's not even worth it opening the package, all right? That's all you can eat. But man, you know, I guess she's trying to encourage me along the way. Hey, folks need encouragement. They do. As I said, there's a lot of discouragement in the world. There's a lot that will discourage you. There's a lot of problems. But I want you to know this, problems can be overcome. Problems can be overcome. People need that encouragement. You say, well, I'm just defeated. Hey, can I say this? Defeat can be turned into victory. Defeat, as they say, is not final. It's not. You can still win. You know, it's like being in a boxing match and you lose round one and you lose round two, but it's not over. It's not over, okay? You can win. Defeat can be turned into victory. Well, can I say this to you? The sun is coming up in the morning. The sun is coming up in the morning. You can count on it. You can count on it. Look, the world needs some encouragement. There was a preacher that I knew, and his wife wrote a book about him. And it's called The Encourager. The Encourager. And Brother Whiz was his name, Brother Whiznet. And everybody knew him as Brother Whiz. But he was an encourager. Hey, isn't that good to be known as that? Wouldn't it be a lot better to be known as that than be known as the guy that's always got the cloud over your head? The depressor, you know? Oh, I'd rather be the encourager. Now, the world needs that. We can help people by giving them encouragement. We can also help them by giving them some exhortation. Folks need to be exhorted. They need to be exhorted to change the way they're living. Now, you don't, you know, we say it over and over. You don't keep doing the same thing the same way and expect different results. People need to be exhorted. People need to be told, hey, look, you just need to change what you're doing. You need to change. Don't keep on living the way you're living. Don't do that. Exhort them to live right. Exhort them to get right. Exhort them to stay right, all right? Just to stay after it. They need that exhortation. They need somebody to come along and say, hey, let me remind you, you can make it. You can do it. You can succeed. You can do what you ought to do. Here's the way to do it. They need that exhortation. Hey, that's one reason you ought to come to church 3 times a week. Why? Just exhortation. Exhortation. You need to come in and somebody to exhort you to do, to remind you. Hey, there's a right way to live. The world says, live this way. But there's a right way to live. There's a whole lot better way to live than most people live in this old wicked world. And we need that exhortation every now and then. It's good to have somebody come along and point you in the right direction. It's good to have somebody come along and cheer you on, right? It's good to have that exhortation. Kids play sports. And sometimes it's not kids, sometimes it's full-grown people. You see pictures, you watch, and I think of football games, and I've seen players turn to the crowd and go, they want the crowd to, if you will, get in the game. The crowd to get in the game. Hey, you as a child of God can give exhortation to people out there. Hey, you can change the way you're living. They say, well, there's no hope. Yes, there is hope. But you just need something that you don't have, and I can exhort you in that direction. So we need that encouragement. We need that exhortation. The third thing you can do to help people is give them an example. Give them an example. Are you like me? When I was in school, I liked math. You say, well, preacher, I'm out. Okay, I'm not like you. But let me say this to you. Even though I liked math, I could look at the book and read what the book said and go, huh? But if I could get in the classroom or get with that professor, that teacher, and have them take, in those days they actually used chalk on chalkboards, and they would write on that board and they would work an example or two. If I could see that example, get a little bit of explanation with that example, okay, I can do it. I know what to do because I got the example. I'm not much of a cook at all. But there's a few things I can cook because somebody showed me how to do it. Now, reading out of a cookbook, saute. What in the world kind of word is that? Caramelize these onions. Do what? I got no idea what all that stuff means. But if somebody would take it and show me, I might be able to figure it out, okay? Show me how to do it. Hey, example. The lost world needs to see Christianity at work that really does work. Really does work. Can I say this? They've already had enough bad examples from Christians. They've had enough bad examples. I mean, how many times we hear it on television, hear it on the radio, some preacher and messed up, yeah, and, you know, done something just stupid. No other way to call it than just stupid, sinful, and that gets plastered across the news. Hey, what the world needs is an example of a Christianity that works. In the youth department in years past, we used to sing a chorus that says, it's a good thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a good thing to follow Jesus everywhere I go. Goodbye to sin and darkness, farewell doubt and fear. It's a grand good thing to be a Christian. And that's why I'm here. It is a good thing to be a Christian. But the world doesn't see enough example of that. What they see is the example of those that mess it up. And they think there's something wrong with Christianity. Nothing's wrong with Christianity. What the world needs is you to show them an example of what real Christianity really is. Really is, all right? To show forth, if you will, a happy, a wholesome brand of Christianity. Man, just that. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. You said, well, nothing ever goes wrong. Well, I'm sure things go wrong. But man, alive, in the midst of all the things that can go wrong, you're still saved. Amen. You're still on your way to heaven. Your sins are still forgiven. You've still got a promise. You've still got a guarantee. Hey, how in the world? God, the world needs to see that example of Christianity. Instead, what we get is we get the Christian that's like the world. And when things go wrong, a Christian cusses, just like the person in the world cusses. The Christian gets mad and yells and screams. How dare you mistreat me at the Walmart line? How can you be so stupid and make such a mistake? You know, it's really okay to be kind to people. It's really okay to do that. I got real aggravated at a teller at the bank where I bank. I'd gone through the drive-thru and I'd made the deposit and I wanted some cash back and put it in, got the envelope back, got in the car and drove off, got home, and then I realized I didn't get any cash back. Man, I was mad. Just flat aggravated. Fortunately, I had a little time. And by the time I saw the teller, by the way, the teller called me and apologized. By that time, thank God, I'd had enough time to realize this ain't the end of the world. It's really not that big a thing. And I remember going in, that teller now never fails to call me by name when I go in the bank. Hello, Mr. Mosley, how you doing? Fine, you sorry, worthless. No, if I'd have done that, that's what would have happened, okay? Hey, we make mistakes too. We like forgiveness. You know, what's wrong with us giving the world an example? Here's real Christianity. This is the real thing. I want you to know that what I've got works. What I've got, it's not just good inside the walls of a building on Sunday. It's good Monday through Saturday out there. It's good there. It's good at the red light when the person doesn't move. It's okay to honk your horn when the light turns green. But don't be sitting there with your hand on the horn waiting for it to turn, okay? And just a little beep is okay. You don't have to get on it and lean on it. Roll your window down, shake your fist. You know, man, the world needs to see some Christianity. Your neighbors, what do they see in you? Do they see an example? Such as I have, give I thee. I can show you what a Christian ought to be. I can show you how a Christian ought to live. I can show you that. Amen. We need an example of those that will not return evil for evil. You don't have to do that. Your motto does not need to be, I will get even. Doesn't need to be that. Hey, such as I have, give I thee. Hey, I can give you some hope. You don't have any hope in the world, but I've got some hope. I can give you that hope. Hey, I can give you some help. I can give you some encouragement. I can give you some exhortation. I can give you an example. Hey, it's right, it's proper, and it's rewarding to live a godly life. The world ought to see that in me and you. The other day I was coming out of a gas station, and a guy said to me, "You a preacher?" And for the life of me, I have absolutely no idea why he asked that. I promise I wasn't quoting scripture while I was in the store, okay? Neither was I singing. Sometimes I do, but I wasn't when that one, okay? I have no idea. But isn't it a good thing if people looked at us and actually would accuse us of being a child of God? Amen. Why? Such as I have, give I thee. Such as I have, give I thee. Hey, we can give them hope. We can give them help. Now, you hear me. We can give them heaven. We can give them heaven. You said, "Preacher, there's no way in the world." Now, you wait a minute. You stay with me. I'm continually struck by the ignorance of people in this world about heaven. It's amazing. I think most folks want to go, but they haven't got the foggiest idea of how to get there. I mean, they just don't have the foggiest idea to get there. Some, maybe like my college history professor, just wildly hope that somehow he might some way make it. I heard him make that statement. Now, there was no confidence on his part, and there was little real hope that he would make it. And I think that's the way a lot of the world is today. Most seem to figure out and to think, "I will make it as long as I'm not a serial killer or a child molester." But boy, nothing could be further from the truth. The world doesn't know anything about heaven and how to get there. Most of them have mistaken ideas about heaven. They've got the idea people are going to be playing harps in heaven. Now, if you want to play a harp in heaven, it's fine with me. I don't mind, okay? But we're not going to be floating on clouds stroking a harp, all right? It's not there. By the way, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be met at the gate by St. Peter. No reason for that. But yet that's the prevailing thought. People have those kind of ideas. Well, when I get there, you know, or maybe I die and I go and there's going to be the scale and they're going to weigh my good works and their bad works. Hey, if they do, you're all sunk. We're all sunk. People don't understand. They don't have the idea. They don't know anything. But you and I know. You and I know how to get to that wonderful place called heaven. We know how to do it. Hey, we know we can't make it on our own. We know we can't do it. The best person that you know can't make it to heaven on their own. The best life you can possibly live will not earn you heaven. Somebody else had to provide the access. Hey, we know who that somebody is. Now, let me show you how bad it is. I'm talking about people, I get out and knock doors. I'm talking about people that tell me, "Yep, I go to church. I go to such and such church." Okay, I said, and I'll say, "Well, do you know if you'd die to go to heaven?" "Yep, pretty sure I would. I sure would." "Okay, why do you think you would?" "Well, I'm a good person." Hey, wait a minute. That's folks who go to church. That's not the crowd that's just out there. That's people that go to church. Their idea is, "I'll get there because I'm a good person. I've never done anything really evil." That's the favorite line I've ever heard, all right? An old lady told me that. And so I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. And I really like to take that person and talk to them. And I say, "Well, wait a minute. You go to church. You know that Jesus went to the cross. Why did he die?" This is the amazing thing. Many of these people that go to church say, "Well, he died. He died to pay for our sin." All right, wait a minute. You just told me you're going to heaven because you're good. Now you've told me Jesus died to pay for our sins. If you can go to heaven because you're good, why did he have to die? Amen. You know what answer I get? None. That's people that go to church. They don't understand heaven. They don't understand how to get there. Hey, the only way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen to me. Sunday night crowd, you're here. Your testimony is, preacher, I've been saved. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. You know how to get there. Such as I have, give I thee. This old world doesn't know that. World doesn't understand that. The sad thing is they can listen to Christian or religious broadcasting and still not know how to go to heaven. Hey, you know, it's your witness that can give somebody the means of getting to heaven. Your witness. Can I say this to you? You don't have to slap them with the Bible. You don't have to do it. It works better if you do it that way. All right. By the way, if you go soul winning with Brother Smart, stay away from him, okay? You're going to get in a fight. All right. Going to get in a fight. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm shy. I understand that. I understand what it is to be very shy. You don't believe this, but I am too. Man, the first time I had to try to talk to anybody, I was absolutely petrified. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. Most people are not going to bite you. Their dog might, but they're not going to, okay? They're not going to bite you. They're not going to jump on you. Most people, even people that disagree with you, will not be rude. They will not slam the door in your face. Few will. I've had it a few times, but it's very few through the years. Hey, the truth of the matter is, such as I have, give I thee. You find yourself in a situation, can I just encourage you? If you can't do anything else, men, grab you a few tracts there from church, just stick them in your pocket, carry them with you. Ladies, maybe stick a few in your purse. And if you find yourself in a situation where something is said, I guarantee you this, the Holy Spirit will say, now's the time. Now's the time. And if you don't do anything else but say, listen, you know, it sounds like to me you could use something. I've got something that could help you. Pull that track out and put it in their hand. If you can't, talk to them about heaven. Man, you run into people where folks have died. Talk to them about heaven. You run into people that have got a bad prognosis from the doctor. And they'll talk to you. Just ask them nicely. Say, well, if worse comes to worse, are you ready to die? If worse comes to worse, are you ready to die? Hey, such as I have, give I thee. I know how to go to heaven. You say, preacher, I don't have all the verses in the Bible memorized. Okay, fine. You don't have to have all the verses in the Bible memorized. But you know how you got saved. If it worked for you, it'll work for somebody else. It'll work for somebody else. Carry a few tracts with you, hand them to people and say, here it is. Here's the truth. What are you doing? Such as I have, give I thee. I don't have money. I don't have silver, don't have gold. But such as I have, give I thee. Christian, I want to tell you something. You got something to give this whole world. You've got something to give. Peter and John had something that beggar wanted and that beggar needed. You and I have got something that this old lost world needs. It needs some hope. I can point them to the one that'll give them hope. It needs some help. Well, I can encourage you. I don't know, I've talked to people before and had people say, man, I appreciate you saying that. Appreciate you just taking your time to talk to me. Just encourage them along the way. Give them a little exhortation. Here's really what you ought to do. Here's what you can do, make a difference for yourself. And one of the things you can do, make a difference for yourself, you can start going to church. And I tell people that all the time. I say, look, if you'll go to church, it'll make a difference in your life. And I'll often follow that by saying this. Now, I can't tell you right now what that difference will be. But I guarantee you, if you'll start going, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Exhort them. Give them an example. Hey, here's a way to live. By the way, here's the way a Christian lives. Here's the way a Christian lives. Now, if you struggle with some areas in your Christian life, you need to get them right. You need to get them right. We're going to have an invitation. Maybe you need to get to the altar. Say, Lord, I need a little help. Hey, you ought to be the example. You ought to be the example. You can help them. But man, you can give them heaven. I'll show you how to get there. I'll show you how to get there. Hey, here's the question. What are you giving to those around you? What are you giving? Just what are you giving to them? Peter and John, such silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give it to you. Such as I have, I'll give to you. What are you giving? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help us just a little bit. Help us to see we do have something to give. We do have something to give. Lord, we have a hope the world doesn't understand, can't conceive of, can't grasp. But we've got that hope. A hope, Lord, of your glorious appearing. Lord, we've got some help we can give people. We can give them an example of what Christianity is. Here's what a Christian is. Here's what it pays to live this way. And I'll just tell you, here's the example. I'll show it to you. I can give you some